Good morning, everyone. I'm going to introduce myself. Maybe not all of you know me. I am Neringa. When I found out that I will need to speak, I had almost like a panic attack because I thought I'm not ready. And the translators encouraged me to speak slower. But I understood, I had these thoughts that I am not perfect. My life is not perfect, so that I could stand here and talk to you. But I understood that that's how I see myself. But then I accepted this thought that God wants to use me, and if He wants, He will tell something through me for you, what you need to hear. I had this passion to talk to you, and I believe that the Lord has gave me a good word to share with you. I was really preparing a few days ago. I was sitting and waiting from the Lord to give me some inspiration what to talk about. I had this moment when I thought, I don't know what to say. I felt a bit confused and lost. And then I started to write some thoughts on my note, but I thought, it's not you, God, it's coming from me. But I really want you to speak, Lord. And one day when I was reading the Bible, I had some thoughts and I thought what to talk about, and I really felt that it's coming from Lord, from God. I thought, that's you, Lord. And I'm going to talk from Acts 9 chapter from 1 to 16. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. There was Saul, and he really hated Christians. He wanted to persecute them, to find them, to put them in prison and to kill them. And he achieved to get these official letters from government, so he has authority to do so. And then let's continue reading. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." While I was reading these verses, I remembered I know some people in my life that I'm thinking that it's impossible for them to believe in God. They're so tough, and they're really difficult to convince. And I'm with my mind thinking it's impossible for me to talk to them about God and for them to believe. And I'm watching these people and thinking, God, how will you convince them? How will you touch their hearts? But this story kind of encourages me to see that there is nothing impossible for God. He can touch and find way to reach any heart. Even this tough heart who was really hardened towards God. And God really knows a way how to touch our hearts. And let's continue reading. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judah on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hand on him to restore his sight." So our Lord has this disciple called Ananias. I thought to myself, if Ananias was his disciple, it means that he believed in Lord Jesus. And he said yes to the Lord. And the Lord thought, whatever I will ask Ananias, he will do. And one day, just simply, he was praying regularly, maybe during his daily pray, the Lord came to him and say, "Ananias, I have a job for you. You need to go to this man and heal him and touch him." And if we are Christians, we believed in God, we said yes to him, we are supposed to do what God commands us to do, what God is asking us to do, however he wants to use us. But Ananias, he answered, "Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." You can read the rest of the story. Maybe you know what happened next in this story. And the Lord, our God, being a good father, he wanted to hear out Ananias. He let him speak out his heart, what he feels about doing this mission that God is giving him to do. It's like, "God, I can't do this. That man is dangerous. That man is killing Christians. Sometimes God may ask us to do things that at first seem very strange to us. What if God would say to somebody, like, you would hear a voice from God today to go to prison, to visit some person and to tell him something. You would start thinking, "But I am not allowed to go there. It's quarantine. Maybe they will put me in jail for doing that." But we hear some thoughts, some encouragements from God. And he knew he had to do it. Yet, even though he had some doubts or uncertainties, in the verse 11, it says, "For Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul." So it says, in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. So we see here that God already told Saul that some man called Ananias is coming to heal him. So it kind of means that God, by telling that to Saul, God already knew that Ananias will come. He will agree. He will say yes to God's calling. And God already hoped that by seeing his heart that he will say yes. Even though he had all the rights to say no, he had his free will. But Ananias chose to commit to God's voice, to God's commandment. Sometimes we might not hear all the answers from God, why we must do certain things right now, what's the final reason for that. But we still have to obey God when he's calling us to do something, to go somewhere. Maybe Ananias didn't even see the ending of Saul's life, how God is going to use him. He has already changed his heart. And maybe we don't accomplish certain things because we don't trust enough that God is doing his work. That we may, just because we don't see the ending, the final picture of how things are going to be. I have this employee in my workplace. He's not the best worker. I'm always trying to support, encourage him to do his tasks. Everyone is kind of losing hope for him. But I still have this feeling in my heart that I still need to give him another chance. And one day I came to him. We had a lack of employees, shortage. And I came to that person and I said, I have to trust you. Today's your day. You have to do your best. You have to do the best you can. I gave him that certain position, task. Maybe he didn't complete it very well in the past, but I still thought I have to trust him. I said, yeah, just do it. I trust you. And that day was really busy day, lots of customers. And I'm just watching him from the side, watching how he's really putting all his heart, all his effort to make sure everything goes well according to the plan. I saw that he's trying not to let me down, to do his best. And he was really working hard, and after the day when the job was finished, I saw him with new eyes. I thought, wow, he did everything so well. The task that I gave him, maybe it was, I had doubts in my heart, but at the end, the result was amazing. Everything was done. And then my boss came and I had this encouragement in my heart to praise that guy in front of everyone. I said, in front of all the colleagues, I said, this guy did such a great job today. He worked for many people. He was really amazing today. And the boss also recognized that, really praised him. And I saw his face, how his face really started shining. He was so happy and he felt proud. He felt encouraged and this story kind of made me see how God sees us sometimes when He gives us tasks, when He gives us some goals to achieve, some tasks to do. And how sometimes we fail, sometimes we don't do our best, we doubt. But God still is giving us, calling us for certain things, and He still doesn't lose hope that yes, we can do it, we can achieve it. God thinks that you will do, you will accomplish what you're called to do. And yes, He knows you're not perfect. He knows you have so many distractions in life. But He sees you in different eyes. He sees you with hopeful eyes. And we as humans, we tend to lose our trust very, very soon. If somebody, you arrange to meet with somebody and they're constantly being late, after a while you would completely lose any hope that the person can arrive on time. But I had this huge realization that God does not think about you in such way. He always, His hope and trust in you always renews. It's always as you have done nothing wrong at all. And He always looks at you with hope and trust that yes, you can accomplish and you can do what He tells you to do. Maybe you're saying that you haven't heard from God in a long time. You haven't heard Him speak to you. Maybe you don't really normally hear God's voice like Ananias heard God's commandment. But I believe that God is talking to each one of us, because He always needs workers. In the Bible, it says that the harvest is huge, and it's a huge need for workers in the fields to take all the harvest. And what I realized was that not all of us are really fully committed to doing God's work, to being His co-workers, to listen to Him and do what He commands. Maybe some of us likes to be in the holiday mode. Some of us are being lazy. We don't even try to hear, and we're not even asking from God what He wants us to do today. And God, God is really happy when we do any smallest task He gave us to do. God always rejoices in when we are willing to listen and obey to what He commands. And really, I encourage you to spend time with God regularly spend time with God and to hear His voice. Be that worker that God will praise and say, "Well done, my faithful servant." And I'm gonna share this story. Maybe that this one was like an introduction. It's all good. I'm gonna share this story now with you that I wanted to share, and I hope God will talk to you through this. One of the weekends I was going to this Jesus conference, I went to that weekend. I was really uplifted in my heart. I was praising, I was listening to the Word of God. And I was so uplifted in my spirit. I thought, God, that's all I need. I don't need anything else in life. No husband, no family, or anything that I maybe wanted, like car, house. You're full of inspiration from God. That you think, I will do anything you tell me to do. I'm ready to do everything for you, anything for you. And I had this employee in my workplace. She was a lesbian woman. And I had this I didn't like them. I didn't like lesbian woman. I had very I really didn't like to be around her. I have built huge walls in between us. When I found out she's coming to be my colleague, I was praying a lot. I thought, no, I was praying that she will not come there, that she will be removed from her position. And you know what? Nothing happened. She wasn't removed. She was coming. She came to my workplace and I thought, okay, God, maybe you will use this for good. Just like Ananias was kind of confused when God told him what to do. I was telling to God, God, are you sure it's good that she will be next to me in my territory? Are you sure it's a good idea? And God said, yes, she's coming. And you know, we were sitting in our office. It's kind of a small space. And we were sometimes there together. When she's entering the place, I'm trying to move closer to the wall and just to avoid any contact, any private territory. And she really felt these emotions from me. She really could feel that I'm avoiding her, that I'm the kind of I have negative feelings towards her. And I think she knew that I'm a Christian, and that's I was radiating is this kind of avoiding her. And I've I saw that she's putting effort. She's trying hard to make any contact with me. She, being a non-Christian, is trying to come and ask me something, have a small chat. And sometimes we have these wrong feelings in our hearts towards some people. We get let emotions really rule us. So I went to that encounter conference. And after that, I came back to work full of Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, with hope, with the faith. Faith to move the mountains. And I'm entering my workplace, and I heard this voice from God saying, when you enter the workplace, you have to hug her. You have to hug that lady. Anyone who knows me personally knows that I don't like physical touches. That's not how I understand love. This is not the love language of mine. And I was debating with God. I said, God, I can do everything for you except for that. Please don't ask me that. No, I can't do this. I really can't do this. You can see God saying like, yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. He's kind of watching you, what you're gonna do. I was arguing with God like Ananias did. I entered the place. I said to her, good morning, give me a hug, how are you? And when we did that, I felt like some wall has been torn down. Something just melted and disappeared between us. And really, I was moved. I think we together was moved. I did it. I thought, God, I did it, what you told me to do. And then that lady, and she was like a small child. She was like a small child all day long, coming to me saying, Neringa, can you check if I did this correct? Can you check my work, if I did everything correct? And she really was following me all day. She was searching for my approval, my praises, that I acknowledge her. It seems like that simple move, simple act that I agreed to do, it has completely moved the mountains away. It destroyed some walls between us. And just like in this story, it says, like God said to Ananias, you don't know what I have prepared for Saul. And I have prepared great things to use him in a mighty way. But you have to go. You have to go and do what I tell you to do. In the same way God told me to Because to do this simple act, because I don't know what God has prepared for her life, what God has intended for her life, and how it's gonna be in the end, how things will work out. And, you know, even God trusts you 100% every time. He tells you to do something. He has all the trust and He knows you will do it. He hopes you will do it, but His hope does not disappear. And, God does not think you. God always rejoices when you hear, when you listen to Him, when you obey and do what He tells you to do. God sees you in loving eyes with His Heavenly Father eyes. He sees you how He created you to be, how He intended you to be. And just see personally what is God encouraging you to do today in your environment, in your surroundings. Just like He told me to hug my colleague. And I hugged her, and really the walls was, they broke down, they fell apart, all the walls that was between us. And the other day we were sitting in office together and the atmosphere was completely different. The atmosphere was completely different. Some walls has been really removed. And then I heard another voice from God. He said, tell her that she will be a perfect, amazing wife. I was shocked for a while. I thought, but God, she's a lesbian. And then I was really debating with God again. I thought, but you're kind of expressing your opinion to God, but is it your thoughts or is it God's thoughts? What did he tell you to do? What did He command you to do? It's the same way like we're having these masks debates. You can always be disagreeing, thinking that it's silly, it's stupid, it doesn't work. But first, instead of trying to express your opinion all the time, your feelings, acting according to your feelings, always go to God and ask what God thinks, what God is telling you to do. And I remember I went to Pastor Vilma. I shared her the situation and I asked for pastor's advice. What should I do? And the pastor told me, I know what I will do, but God is telling me not to tell you the answer. And I was surprised. I said, why is that? Why can't you tell me? And she said, because you're always running to people to search for answers. You're always coming to us to ask and tell you what to do in life, but you have to find way how to listen to God, to hear God, to make your own choices and decisions. And why I realize why I always run to people, because they tell you very quickly. Very quickly, they give you the answer. You don't have to wait. You don't have to be patient. You just go and they tell you. But with God, you have to put effort. You have to sacrifice something. You have to sacrifice, devote your time to spend time with God, to be with God, to be in His presence, and to hear His voice, what He's telling you to do. And I was supposed to talk about trusting today, but I hear God encouraging me to tell you that He wants you to come back to spending time with Him in private rooms, devoting your time to God, to spend time in His presence, to hear His voice. And back to that moment when God was encouraging me to tell my colleague that she's going to be a perfect wife, I just quickly told that, "You're going to be a perfect wife." And I just continued doing my tasks, my work. She was like, "Neringa, what are you talking about? You know who I am. Why did you say that?" I said, I just felt in my heart that I have to say it. God told me to say it to you. And I just said it. I completely trusted God and I said it, what I felt encouragement to say. And I was thinking about Ananias, how he was going to Saul, knowing who he was, knowing what he was doing to Christians. Maybe he had a little fear. Maybe not. Maybe he had lots of fear when going there, thinking, "What if he arrests me? What if he is like, he will just capture me, put me in jail?" But he still went. He still trusted God and went. And back to my story with my colleague. And she told me, my colleague told me, "I knew that you didn't like me. I had a feeling, I felt that you're avoiding me." But she said, I have a feeling that you have changed. Something has changed in my heart. And I know what you're thinking about all these things. And you don't agree with that. But you accept me personally. You accept me as a person. You really are so welcoming and accepting. And I'm not supporting homosexuality, but I love my colleagues. I love her as a person. And she said, "Neringa, something has changed in your heart. You're going to that church. I really want to come there and see how it is." She expressed her desire to come to church. She saw the change in my heart, that something really is different, and it really moved her. And a month ago, she had a baby boy. She had a child, and she is living with her husband. She is now married. She has a husband. And I couldn't see that. I couldn't foresee that coming. But God knew, He saw, and He just wanted me to do a simple act of trust by hugging, just simply obeying to hug a colleague. And how everything turned out into perfect God's plan, God's will. And God, I feel God being happy. He was saying, look at you, you just did what you don't like, what is not pleasant for you, but you simply obeyed. And look at the situation now, look at how things turn out to be. And I really come back to my thought that Ananias probably was spending time with God, was devoting time to be with God, to hear Him. That's my encouragement to you. And to finish this sermon, I really was thinking a lot what to say in the end. And I heard from God that He's encouraged me to ask all of you a question. He wants you to think. On which side are you? Are you the one who destroys and hurts others? Or are you the one who lifts up, who encourages another? On which side do you want to be? Do you want to be sleeping, lazy, or do you want to be that devoted worker of God's kingdom, ready to take the harvest? And talking about the other guy from my workplace who was not really doing great at work. Later on, I found out that his mother was in coma. She was in another country and he could not visit her because of this quarantine virus situation. And he is not a Christian. He is not a Christian, but he, when I asked him, when I put trust in him, he did his tasks in a perfect way, more than anyone expected. And he didn't have to do it, but he did it. And what is our excuse? Do we have any excuse to not do something that is God calling us to do? To what God is commanding us to do? And God is, I believe that God has a plan for each one of us, that God has in His mind a lot of tasks for us to accomplish. Just to listen to Him, to hear His voice, and do what He commands. And He does not see you in a way that maybe others see you, that you yourself see you, but God sees you in different eyes. He always gives you hope. God sees you in trusting eyes, and He always gives you new tasks and new opportunities to accomplish things. But But you might start to debate with God, saying, "But God, how can I do it? I'm not capable. I'm afraid." But all these thoughts come from the place that we simply do not see the ending of the story. We don't see what God has prepared for somebody's life. And we might judge another person from our perspective, from our point of view. But we don't know what God has prepared for the other person. And He wants to use us for His purposes, for His will to be accomplished. God already planned for these two people in the story in Acts to come and meet and serve each other. And He really hoped, He trusted them. He knew they will accomplish what He is telling them to do. That's how I'm gonna finish this sermon.